Good morning. This morning I'd like to talk to you about label making. And we all know that there are places that you can go, particularly in office supply places, that make labels that are necessary for things that we might put on cans or bottles or jars that let us know the contents of it. And those are very useful. There's also another kind of label that I'd like to address this morning with you is the labels in three different ways. The ones that we are born with and can't help, for example, whether we're born male or female, where we're born, what kind of hair color, what eye color, and we're oftentimes labeled as a blue-eyed, brown-haired, blue-haired, brown-eyed, whatever the case may be. That's a label that happens to fit sometimes. The next type of label I'd like to talk about is the ones that are assigned to you before you have the opportunity to decide if that's really who you are. And that comes from your caregivers, your parent figures, your school teachers, your friends. An idea is formed about you from those around you on the basis of how you act, or in a transient moment, that can stick for a long time. For example, a child that steps up in school to swing a bat at a baseball game may be nervous or scared and miss, and all of a sudden his friends say, he or she's no good at this. He or she's no good at sports. He or the same thing can be with art or music or any of those things, because a child is learning and trying. But unfortunately, adults and friends can say, well, I heard it was not very good at the piano, not very good in sports, and that becomes a label that is placed upon you that you believe and then seek to replicate, because it was obvious they were right because there were a bunch of them who said it. And I'm here today to say that just because a large group of people, a contingent of those with their own ideas say it, ain't necessarily making it so. The other kind of label, and I think the most pernicious, is the ones that we place on ourselves. Those things where we declare ourselves complete and finished. In this society, we say, I am, for instance, a Republican, I am a Democrat, I am an Independent, I am a Libertarian, I belong to the Baptist Church, I belong to the Methodist Church, I belong to the Science of Mind Church, the Unity Church, I am this. And it is secure because it feels secure because it gives us an identity. The I am and joining with a group tends to give us an identity that we feel comfortable with. We don't identify with those things that make us uncomfortable. Matter of fact, we want to move away from that. But the labels that we say are ours, or that we place on ourselves, is a way of saying, I am finished in this area. I am this. There is no more room for me to expand from this label. I set this as me. This is my default position. Well, default positions are good for things like computers and things like that, but for humans, it negates growth. It's been said, once you label me, you negate me. And once I label me, I negate me, because I say, I'm finished. Now, I know that you can have a label and say that I am, for example, an artist, and then continue to produce wonderful works of art. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those I'ms that hold us back and that keep us from being all that we can be. I think I spoke to you some time ago about an erroneous label where I said I was no good at math and that wasn't true, or I was this way in the family unit and it wasn't necessarily that way at all. What I'm talking about is seeing ourselves with new eyes. Because when you do that, you can't help but do it about other things as well. I'm talking about seeing our church with new eyes, seeing your job with new eyes, seeing your relationship with others with new eyes. It's hard sometimes to step back and say, all this time that I thought this about thus and so, I was mistaken. I limited them. I limited me. I declared myself finished in this area. One of the great things that we get to do as children of God, or even if you call it just human beings, we get to choose, and we can change, and we can break out of limiting boxes that we ourselves sometimes have jumped into, or at least had them fashioned for us. I'm sure that each one of you knows of an area in your life where you may have tried something and it may not have gone right, and you labeled yourself deficient in that area, or you said you failed. But I'm going to get a little woo-woo this morning and say that failure doesn't really exist. It is the production of results. You label it what you want. In other words, I tried to play golf, and I'm not very good at it. And I said, I failed to make par. Well, I produced the result because I didn't really want to do that sport. So it's hard for me to say I'm bad at it. I just didn't want to pursue it. But those around me would have said, well, he failed at golf, or he failed in his attempt. You see, what we say to ourselves is very important. The words that go through our minds are sometimes not even our own. We believe things, we set up things inside our minds that correlate to what we feel about ourselves. So if our self-image or our self-esteem is shaky, then it's very unlikely that we're going to feel confident about what we are doing or what's given us to do or what's in front of us to do. It's much better to say, I am a work in progress, and I do what I do, and if I offend somebody in that process, I apologize, or if I offend myself, I forgive myself, but I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm not going to allow an event to define me. And I think all of us know people who have allowed, particularly a negative event, to define who they are. And they stop growing at that place. And they walk away from it, usually in a fearful, negative way, and say, I'm glad to be done with that. But you know what? It's still running them. It runs them because they're giving energy and thought to the remembrance of the situation that they said they were no good at. How many times do we praise ourselves for the things we're good at? I hope it's a lot. But I hazard a guess that many times we remember what we did that didn't turn out so well. Those things where we felt embarrassed, hurt, confused, and so on. The label of I failed. The label of I'm not good, I'm complete in that area, and I don't want to think about it. We live in a society that prizes conformity and prizes labels. By the time that you're out of school, you're homogenized, pasteurized, criticized. You have formed an opinion about yourself based on usually what somebody else has said and what you believed about it. I'm asking you this morning to step back and get a different view of yourself. You are unique. And I know you've heard that there are no two fingerprints alike in the whole universe. God loves diversity, obviously. Look around. And it is true that those that are the most different from us, or seem to be the most different from us, hold the greatest challenge for growth. Because if we only label ourselves as hanging with, so to speak, this group, we're never going to learn what it means to be this person, or to be this in this event. In other words, we declare ourselves finished. There's no place as a human being where you're finished. There are some things that are just part and parcel of being human that we all have to face, but each of us have our own responses and ideas to what make us who we are, what we want to experience, what we want to try again, and what we say we'll never do again. I'm not going to do golf again because it's just not something I'm interested in. But I would like to try to continue to watercolor. I'm not going to say I'm bad. I'm going to say I'm learning. I'm not going to place that label on me. There's only one label that I want attached to me, and I hope it is true for you. That label is kindness. I am kind. And if I'm not, I'm willing to find out where I dropped the ball. And I hope that somebody comes to me and says, Jay, in that area, you were less than you could be. But I think I've got a pretty good compass direction inside me as to what comprises kindness. The other label that I carry is that I'm for self-growth. I am for expansion. We love people who step outside the box, who transcend their labels. Let's look at Rosa Parks, a label of a black woman in the South who was a maid, who transcended her label the day that she said, not today, not in the back of the bus, no more. At that moment, she transcended a label that was placed upon her by a group of individuals in a place in this country that had an investment in people remaining substandard, and she said, I'm not, and I won't be, and I make this change right now. She transcended. She was spirit in action, making room for all of us to grow, to reach a critical mass about something that should have never happened in the first place, but which we all learn from. That was her gift. Those that step out of their general identities and do something different are the ones that we remember. The Einsteins, the Gandhis, the Dyers, the Eddies, the Fillmores, the Holmes. They saw that the love of God could be shown in a different way than the doctrinaire, ordinary way that we had seen it up till then. A heaven, an earth, a hell, a heaven to gain, a hell to shun, and a life to be endured. Thank God they turned that around and said, the kingdom of heaven is within you, and repeated what the Master said himself, and that ye are God's, I have told you so, I wouldn't have told you so if it isn't true. So we do stand on the shoulders of giants, and we remember those who bring out the best in us, those that play to our fears and our anxieties and our doubts and guilts and confusions. We generally try to walk away from that. But those that seek the best, whether it's a teacher, a minister, a family member, a confidant, those who say you can do better, you can be better, we honor those folks because they're speaking to the best inside us. And when you speak to that area in a person, you are saluting the Christ in them. Christ was about expansion and growth. There was no place that he labeled his work finished. Oh, he said, it is finished on the cross for what men did to him. But there was no place where he said, this is it. I'm forming a church. You will be part of this. You have to do this, 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 and this to be mine. None of that. We did that. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. There was no label making in Christ Jesus. He did not use the word Christian. He did not use the words to confine people. He saw the best. He called it forth. People got up in new life and walked onward and heavenward. That's the duty of a good teacher. The Christ spirit in all of us longs for expression. It is choose labels. Labels, remember, are a human concoction. They are things we do and that others do so that we feel safe, or that they feel safe. But what price do we give up for safety? What do we pay for giving up that safety? What are we disowning in ourselves? There are things in each of us that want to grow and express themselves. And I believe we ought to reach out and grab those things, because that's the greatness of life. Those things that transcend the everyday, the ordinary, the label of. Now, there are certain labels that are comforting, especially that have to do with the past. I had a wonderful grandmother. I was a good grandson. I was a good granddaughter. I was a Boy Scout. All those things were just part of growing up or part of who you were. Nothing wrong with those. What I'm talking about are those things that declare you a work not in progress but finished. What is it that you see in yourself right now that could use completion or at least a continuation? What is it that rings your bell, and what is it you love? Those are the questions that a self-actualized person asks themselves. And as Maslow said in his hierarchy of human needs, those basic human needs that we have to have fulfilled, such as hunger and thirst, are one thing. But the top of the pyramid of being self-actualized calls for us engaging our whole selves and our whole efforts into something that transforms us and something that is different from the way the crowd walks. I've said, if you come to the road less traveled, choose another one and make your own road. It's fine to walk the less traveled road, but I'd rather leave some footprints on a brand new road and have somebody else see those and follow them than even follow what somebody else did. There's a broad road, a road less traveled, and the road I haven't made yet. And the one that I haven't made is the one that's going to be the most fulfilling to me, because I'm going to be true to me when I walk it. I'm not hanging on to somebody else's truth. I'm not hanging on to those things that negate me and define me in ways that I don't want them to. To say I am is, and declare yourself a finished product, is a way of anti-growth. It's anti-human. It's profoundly anti-you. You see, I think we all want to grow, and I think that we're frustrated and we run to safety by taking steps back. I think all of us feel a need to expand. We feel a need to create. Life presents itself anew every day. And when that happens, we have a choice to make. Do we say, I'm finished, or I'm ready? It happens in relationships. Have you noticed how some people attract the same partner over and over again because they declare themselves this type of person? And this type of person that I am attracts this type because I'm comfortable with it, even if it's negative, even if it's not life-affirming. But the minute somebody makes a decision that says, I'm not what I've chosen in the past, I choose to grow, they vibrate at a different frequency. They attract another type of person into their lives. Abraham Hicks talks about vibrational frequencies, that we are all emitting a certain energy. And through that, we are attracting others into our lives with similar energies. Haven't you noticed a group of people, when they come together, really need to feel that they generally agree on whatever it may be? It kind of binds them together. Critical thought or questioning the group is not necessarily something that they enjoy doing because it rocks the boat. So they're happy to be in this place with these folks, and they're secure and know what's going to happen. That's anti-growth. I would love somebody in any group to stand up and give a critique of that group, who takes not only the energy that drew them to it, but says, this is what I think may be wrong here, or this could use this tweaking, or that. Many people stay quiet. They don't want to rock the boat, and they want to be accepted. Our deepest need, it seems like, is to have acceptance from the group, because that's how we survived as a species. We survived by herding together. That was one thing thousands of years ago. It's different now. We're not outrunning saber-toothed tigers, and we're not thinking that lightning is God's finger of judgment. We have an opportunity in this country and through where we live to express ourselves in new and different ways. I would love for folks to take a label that they've had about themselves and say, I'm going to set that aside for a minute, and I'm going to see myself in another light. It is uncomfortable. It's not the funnest thing to do to admit that your precious, darling feelings may be wrong. I have them. I'm sure you do. And there are people to this day that I may see or think, oh, I know that type. I have to pull that back because I'm negating them. I can learn from everybody that crosses my path. And I think the only thing that I don't want to learn anything about is cruelty or mercilessness. I don't want to know about that. That's not something that is interesting to me. Other than that, in this whole gamut of humanity and human experience, I want to hear the stories. I want to know how people grew. I want to know how they transcended their labels, how they made their difference. That's life. It presents itself all the time. We may try to escape it. We may go and sit on top of a mountain and contemplate our navels. Nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, I think in every healthy society, we need people like that. We want the outsiders, those that don't buy the dishwashers, the cars, the power mowers. They sit up there and they think their thoughts and they write them down and they observe us. And sometimes they say, what fools those mortals be, or what are they doing? But we're glad they're up there because they're kind of thinking things that we don't want to give the time to. We're too busy to think about. I'm interested in the outsider. I want to know what makes them tick. I want to hear them. I want to say, this is who I am. Tell me about who you are. To those who like different foods, I want to know why. To those who want to have different life experiences, I want to know what makes you tick. This is the fun of life. Conformity is straitjacketing. Nonconformity, and I don't mean just being a nonconformist for the sake of being different. I mean because you're listening to your deepest self. That's fun because you're learning from one another. Well, why are you doing this? Well, I've done this myself, and dialogue that's meaningful catches fire. Polite, pleasant talk is one thing, but it's not the best way to interact with folks. I want to know what moves you. I want to know the things that wake you up in the morning, the labels you've transcended, the things you've gone through in your life that hurt, the things that you're victorious over, and the things you're still working on. That, to me, is profound humanism. That's a dirty word in Christianity right now. But I use humanism in a different way. For to be profoundly human or humanistic is to be profoundly godlike, because he, she is in us right now, and we are human beings having a spiritual experience. So if somebody says that you're a humanist and they say that as a term that's derogatory, don't buy it. You're being the very thing that Christ called you to be, the Buddha called you to be, that every great teacher that I've ever studied and read has called you to be, to realize the kingdom of heaven is here, and that out here is your painting of your life. You get to choose the colors, some get to choose the canvas, and sometimes you get to choose more than once, and sometimes you're choosing daily, and sometimes you're choosing one time here, three times here, five times back here. It gets confusing. That's why we have centering meditation. That's why we go inside and remember who we are. Because when we're solid about who we are here, we don't feel threatened by those who are living life in a different way than we may see, and those that are hearing a different tune. Thank God for those that hear a different tune. Thank God for those who take the time to go inside and say, this is my way. What is your way? the way doesn't exist. Now, I know that may rattle you a little bit too, but I've never found a the way that works for everybody. I do know that God is in us, and I know that truth is true, but the way of doing something I've yet to find. There's always another way. There's always a different twist, a different thought. Viva la difference. That makes life, that wonderful mix of all of us coming together. And when we emit vibrations of love and harmony and acceptance of one another, we're going to get more of that. If we fear and make judgments and pull our energy in, we're going to get that too. I've heard it said that life is like an echo. Somebody goes out to a canyon and says, I don't have enough. And it comes back, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. Or say, I am love. And it comes back, I am love. I'm saying that that's what the universe says to us when we say something. In other words, if we say, I am loved, we hear that back. If we say, I am poor, we hear that back. We are creators. We have a definite job to do as human beings, and that is being true to ourselves. It didn't start with me. It said, Shakespeare said, to thine own self be true, and it follows day as night, that you can't be false to anybody. That's why I like folks that are true to themselves and walk their truth and their path. It may not be what I do, but I could sure learn something from it. Conformity is great for certain things. Traffic lights, crossing a street, even coming together to learn in a group. But don't we still, even there, want an individual's own ideas about what's being taught, what they hear, and what they think? So I issue a little challenge to you this week. Break out of a label you've had. If you say, I am bad at, just say, up till now, I've thought I was bad at, and I'm willing to give it a try. If you don't want to give it a try, forget it. Try something new. All life is an experimentation, and there are a few ground rules. And those were given to us in truth. God is omnipresent, omniscient, all-powerful, and with us all the time, and good. And we get to create through that power. I was reminded this week in a personal way about the price of freedom being eternal vigilance. I wrestle with some pain in my neck. Dear friend said, this person, this doctor, knows about neuroplasticity, and you can rewire your brain to have pain perceived differently. But it is a minute-by-minute sometimes proposition. Well, I had read the doctor's book who wrote this. His name was Moskowitz. And I thought, this sounds wonderful, and I'll meditate at night, and I'll do all right. No. I went back through the book. It said minute by minute sometimes, hour by hour. That was a challenge to me. I was ready to pick it up. And you know what? It's beginning to work. Life is also getting out what you put into it. Get excited. Get enthusiastic. Put your best self into what you do, and the results are good. Enthusiasm, in theos, means with God. Be enthusiastic about any undertaking you have. And if it doesn't make you feel enthusiastic, walk away and find something that does. Break the labels. Transcend the identity of one who says, I'm finished growing. You're never finished growing. And even when you pass from this life, it is my belief and a deeply held, cherished belief that you will continue to grow in the next plane of existence and the next until you return to the Godhead. And you've learned everything that you need to learn. I challenge all of you this week, break a label. Take it off of yourself. Put it on the salt, the pepper, the cinnamon, and the stuff in the cabinet. Put it in the medicine cabinet, not as when it comes to you, if you have to have a label, just say, I am kind. If you do that, and you mean it, then you fulfill the conditions, I believe, of being here. And the rest is gravy. And so it is.